Whoa, black. Hi. Overstimulation welcoming has continued. Welcome, hi,
Hey.
to the next episode, another episode of our podcast. I hope you're having a wonderful time, whatever you are doing. And I hope you enjoy this episode.
Yes, I do. I hope you really enjoy the episode.
So, today we're going to talk about The Bachelor a little more. Not just The Bachelor, we're going to expand on it, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't like reality shows per se.
Okay.
But a few months ago, I stumbled on The Golden Bachelor. I watched a couple of episodes and I says, oh my God, the guy's in his 70s. And as Eddie Murphy would say, he was looking for nub, you know. And there was a lot of nub on The Golden Bachelor. Nub is love, you know, that's who just used to show
me.
We get it.
We get it.
And then I said, man, let me take a look. I never watched The Bachelor. And I turned it on, and there was a bachelor named Joey Grazadei on it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started to watch him, I started to say, hey, what a nice guy. He was sensitive and well-spoken, well-dressed, something that I figured you would be somebody you would be friendly with. That he was just a good guy. And I said, maybe this will change as the 11 episodes would go on. No, he just got better and better and better.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that bothers me about The Bachelor and all these different dating shows, which I'll talk about later. I just skimmed and there's 55 different dating shows.
Yeah.
The different purposes. The thing that gets me is whoever is not the main character, like in The Bachelor, Joey Grazadei, he's 28 years old. He's a tennis instructor, as everybody knows by now. He also was a communication major, I think, in college. And now he's faced with dating 32 women.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see what these women were like. So what did Tom Hanks say in that movie, Peter?
Life is a box of chocolates.
Yeah. So I figured, 32 women. And he has to date them all. It's like picking out the best piece of chocolate that you like. And some are Carmels, some are dark chocolate, some are light chocolate, some are coconut, some are totally nuts, you know. And I'm watching, and these women, for the most part, 90% were gorgeous, and everybody's taste is different. And well-spoken and well-dressed. And as I started to say, you know, realize what was going on, I said, Joey's a nice guy, but I remember when I was younger and in between my first marriage to my, you know, high school sweetheart, and then my 41-year marriage to my love of my life, I was a bachelor for 7 years. And no way could I date more than one woman at a time, maybe two, possibly. But here he has to go through 32 women.
Mm-hmm.
That means he's kissing 32 women. Their lip glosses taste different. Their breath may be different. Their hygiene could be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to myself, what a nice guy. And at no time does he ever say to them, I love you. Which I remember one of my friends, should rest in peace, anytime he wanted to get laid, would tell the girl, I love you.
Yeah.
And that was the key to getting into where he wanted to get into. But Joey was brought up well. And he would say, I'm falling in love. But I never, he never said, I love you. And that's showing a certain degree of respect. And the girls probably ranged in age from early 20s. I think the oldest one was 31, and he's 28. They were all shapes, sizes, religions. And he had group dates where he'd go on dates with four of them. And then he would have single dates. And then when it got towards the end, where there were like four women left of the 32, he'd have what was called fantasy suites, where he did an overnight with each one.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to give out roses to every girl that he selected. The ones who didn't get roses were eliminated. So the last four girls that he had overnights with, I had said to myself, you know, I could never do an overnight with four different women in the same, in the context of a short period of time. My heart wouldn't be in it because there has to be one that I really have feelings for.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't just want to have sex or whatever it is with someone and possibly mislead them. But supposedly, at the end of the show, when they all met, he handled it very, very nicely. No regrets from any of the women. I mean, they would have liked to have been chosen, but nobody said that son of a bitch, you know, had sex with me and dumped me.
Right.
Nothing was said like that. In fact, by now, everybody must know that he chose Kelsey Anderson, age 25, 5'7", lived in New Orleans, beautiful, long, brownish hair. She was an assistant project manager. And when he was asked in other podcasts, you know, unscrupulously, did you guys have sex? Joey didn't say anything. He said, we talked a lot about things that we couldn't talk about on camera, because this wasn't on camera. And before we knew it, it was 2-3 in the morning, which I can understand, because I have, I guess you too, you would talk with your girlfriend till 2-3 in the morning.
Well, that and also, you know, he's trying to get, like, the whole show is about him ending up in a relationship. So he wants to make sure he's going to make the right decision. And, you know, you only get to answer so many or ask so many questions that are allowed on television. So there's probably things that talking with each of them in this intimate private space with no cameras is probably a good, like, it's an opportunity for them so that they can, yeah, they can be less TV personality and they can be more themselves. I mean, also simultaneously, there's probably some level of decorum that has to be maintained for the show, because if all they do is talk about the sex, then it's going to become just about the sex. So there's probably some sort of contract or so forth that says, if you do have sex, you can't talk about it. If you don't, just still don't talk about it. Keep it ambiguous because it'll drive numbers up. There's probably something or other in the contracts regarding that, that they're allowed to have sex or not, but they just can't talk about it, because yeah, otherwise it'll make the show, it'll lower the quality of the show.
Yeah, the one thing I didn't like was when he got down to the final three, he had to go visit, the final four girls, he had to go visit their families and see how their families were. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, she's a lovely girl and so on and so forth and blah, blah, blah. But he, by this time, I don't know in his heart who he's going to pick, you know.
Well, maybe. I think by that point, he's probably teetering between two people, because
It was.
No, and that's what would make sense is, you know, it makes sense to go visit the family, especially at that point, because, you know, you could be very much like, oh, this person's really great and this person's really great. I don't know who to pick. And one has an amazing family and the other one has one that absolutely hates you. And getting in a relationship with this person means you're going to be fighting constantly for your right at the table with this person, or you pick the other person, you know. Yeah. And it's not always a, well, that's not her fault. That's just her family. She could be totally different. That's how it is sometimes. So that's, it makes sense why they introduce the families at that point. A sort of curveball to see if maybe an underdog comes up. You know what I mean? Maybe there was out of the four, he just absolutely adores this family. And because he's a family man, he picks the fourth girl, when originally he was going to pick the first girl. You know what I mean? So I get it. I understand why they do that.
Yeah, he's a family guy, and the one he picks, and even the three that were remaining, all four were family people, and the three were all family people. But another thing that bothered me was, for the 3 or 4 months' work, I think bachelors get paid anywhere from 75 to 100,000 plus, depending what they bought, you know, their contract reads.
Mm-hmm.
But what I read was the women, a lot of them put themselves into financial, terror because they got nothing.
Yeah.
And they had to pay for their own dresses, and they were all dressed beautifully, and their makeup and such. And some of them had a mortgage their houses, cash out their 401ks. This is what I read.
Yeah.
And you would think that a popular show like this would at least give them money for, you know, clothes and
no
things like that.
Nope. Wrong. Because I can answer that one in a variety of capacities. They would not give them money for food or clothes because especially these women in terms of this setting where they're trying to impress this man, it doesn't matter how much money that they're given, they're probably going to want more because they want to spend, they want to wear an expensive dress. They want to wear a dress that looks nice. It looks tailored. It does all these things. And a studio is just not going to be able to afford that because one person may be able to get a fully tailored, well-looking dress for $500. Another one may be able to get it for $2,000. And so you can't give every contestant that money. And also the money doesn't pay out because some of these contestants are kicked off in the first episode or two or the second episode. So you just paid them $1,000 to do nothing. They were like, you just basically gave them a free dress. And so
They got supposedly I read they got nothing. They don't get any money for being on the show.
Right.
Other than being on the show and getting exposure.
You know? Right. So that was the second thing I was going to get at is this is what happens when you are non-union. This is what reality TV does. Reality TV pays little to nothing for most people because there's no writers. Most of these people aren't actors. They're told a direction, which is like, yeah, be mad at this point. Or you guys are gonna bitch about this or argue about this. Or sometimes they're not even told that. Sometimes the director or someone just sort of seeds the moment and lets them explode. And they get paid whatever. And in some cases, when it's like Jersey Shore, where it gets super popular, then they can start getting paid. But even then, they're not paid crazy amounts because there's no narrative. There's nothing. They're not acting. They're just in. It's literally, it's what YouTubers do is vlogging. It's commercialized vlogging. And so that coupled with the fact that they are non-union, they have no means to demand money. And so is it right? Is it ethical? Probably not. The amount of money that they're making off these shows, I don't know. I don't know how slim their margins are. They could be running a very tight budget because they're paying the
Bachelor. So
they're paying the bachelor, they're paying the sound engineer, they're paying the director, they're paying for the ad space and whatever else. So that mixed with merch, they probably make good money, I would guess. But I don't know. So I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, they're making millions and millions of dollars. I don't know. It's still reality TV. And margins tend to be pretty low on reality TV shows. At the minimum, the money tends to go all to like three people, which in this case is the bachelor and like the director. That being said, if they release auditions for the bachelor for like the next season and it says no pay, you got to pay your way the whole way. We'll give you free food and a free hotel to stay at. We'll pay for your hotel. We'll pay for your food. That's it. Everything else you have to pay for. You got to pay for the flight here. You got to pay for your makeup, your dresses, your outfits, everything. People sign up because it's their 15 minutes of fame. And, you know, if they win, they end up with a guy and they end up Instagram famous. And then they end up with a man who just made $100,000 in 3 months. And they can go on a nice honeymoon and have a good time. But, that's what it is.
One of the endpoints that I liked was the fact that they went to a counselor upon getting engaged, Kelsey and Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And the counselor was to help them deal with this notoriety and being engaged. And then they decided that they wanted to be engaged for 2 to 3 years so they could really get to know each other.
Yeah, that's great.
And then they were talking about either moving to New Orleans temporarily, where she's from, and living in New York for a couple of years, possibly.
That's probably one of the most healthy responses. I would not have expected that out of reality TV show stars. I would have expected them to get married immediately and then end up divorcing like a year and a half later. The fact that they want to stay engaged and not get married so that they can actually participate in each other's lives, because obviously 3 months is not a reasonable time to meet someone and then get engaged to them. Spending that time for the next couple of years is a really smart thing for both of them.
Yeah. And they were talking about having a wedding, an engagement party in New Orleans at some time in the future. And then when they get married, honeymoon in Italy, a portion of Italy. But they look like they're in love. And I wish them the best because they look like two very, very nice people, not skeezy. Sleazy. Okay, that sleazy, sounds even better.
Skeevy could be like grody, gross. So
to top this off, because I want the topic to be Joey Grazia Day, I mentioned there were like 50 dating shows. Some of them came from Canada, Denmark, Great Britain.
Yeah, I was saying UK, anywhere in Europe. Yeah.
You know, like, I'll just mention a few. And then like you alluded to just now, you were glad that they were going for counseling. We have Are You the One? It uses modern technology to help people find love. 20 plus single men and women try to find love. Another one is Love is Blind, where singles try to find a match and fall in love without ever seeing each other. They talk with a wall in between them, and they talk to a various amount of the, you know, opposite sex, and then they pick the one that they want to marry, which I think is totally ridiculous. I know it's an attempt to make a emotional connection rather than a physical connection, but I'll tell you something. No matter how sweet a girl was, she had to be both beautiful and sweet. If she was stone cold,
Steve Austin. If she looked like Stone Cold Steve Austin, but was really sweet, you're not taking her on a date.
And vice versa. And vice versa. If a girl, a woman looked at me and said, "Find me unattractive, but I'm very nice," I wouldn't want her to pick me because she's not going to be happy. But then again, I have seen some very, very, very unattractive men with gorgeous women, but I guess they had big, thick wallets, right, Peter?
Big, thick wallets.
Then there's another one called Too Hot to Handle, where singles visit paradise to meet, mingle, and remain celibate for $100,000, and money gets deducted if there are infractions. And Love Island is another one based on a UK series where islanders couple up in new surroundings to compete for a prize.
Yeah, Love Island's a popular one.
Yeah, Perfect Match brings together singles from all the other shows who did not make it to the final end. The one that I can't stand, I watched one episode. It was called F-Boy. You know what that stands for.
Yeah.
Are they nice or are they F-Boys?
Yeah.
The girls have to determine, are they after what's in their pants or are they after what's in their heart, And Married at First Sight is based on a Danish format, matchmaking experiment. And then one I did like was called, but it's an old one called Millionaire Matchmaker, where this woman matches up millionaires with people. If it's a woman and she's a millionaire, she matches them up with a male. If there's a male that's a millionaire, she matches them up with women. And if there's two LGBTQ, is that right?
Yeah.
She'll match them up too.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's that was really very good. So basically, 50 shows. Getting back to The Bachelor, it ended differently this year. Everybody picked who they thought they would be a winner. Your girlfriend picked Daisy. She thought Daisy would be the winner. I picked Kelsey from the moment I saw her, although I liked Daisy because I thought Kelsey was a knockout.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, sweetheart, is pretty. I just thought she was wonderful. And I really like Joey Grazadé. And I wish them both the best. Now, you want to come into this with something to say?
Yeah, I can. There's a variety of things I can say. One is, I was waiting for you to say 90 Day Fiance. That was one that I knew because there was a lot of memes about that like a year or two ago about that one guy with the really wide neck. And then there's another one that I saw. I don't remember if it was an ad on like YouTube or might have been a TikTok. I don't remember, but it was something to the effect of it's young men trying to get matched with MILFs. Like, older moms.
Yeah.
And apparently during one of the episodes, the son was in the group of men to like his mom was apparently one of the contestants, which was wild. That was like the season. Like that was in the season. They didn't like cut him out. They didn't do anything. Like they were she was on dates with like these, her son's like friends here. It was really weird. But yeah, I mean, it's reality TV. That's what that is. When you give me all these different versions, it feels like commercialized social media, right? You've got thousands of people who play the same video game, but some people turn it into a story narrative. Some people play with friends. Some people play by themselves. Some people are pro players. Some people are so bad, and that's why they make content. Some people take the analytical side, the news of that game sometimes. And there's so many different ways that you can make content about that game. And that's what this feels like, right? You've got ones where they're matching millionaires. You've got ones where they're matching MILFs and DILFs. They've got ones where they're matching people in the queer community. They got people on an island. They got people in Manhattan. And so
What about matching homeless people? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Good one.
You win a new tent.
It's not something to laugh at. I apologize, people.
The reality TV in general has never been my cup of tea. I can understand why people like it. I can understand why people watch it. Especially something like Love Island or The Bachelor or whatever. Because we have how many dating apps now? It's dating apps. Mm-hmm. It's living vicariously through the system. And it's fun to see people in competition. We've had reality TV competition shows as long as television has been alive. So I understand why they're there. I think the amount of renditions that there are is kind of nuts. But at the same time, you know, you can only run so many competitions in terms of a reality format off of low cash flow, shall we say. Like if you've only got if you've only got $1 million to spend and you need to make a whole TV show for the year and you got to make a reality TV show, yeah, you can only come up with so many ideas. I get it. Same thing happens on YouTube. Again, people there's a popular YouTube channel called Jubilee and a popular YouTube channel called Cut. They both have games and styles of videos that either invoke conversation or competition. So Jubilee will do things called Odd Man Out, where they have 7 or 8 people in a box. And this box is just like, it's just the edges of the box are lit up. And so you can walk in and out of it. And it's 7 men and 1 woman, or 7 millionaires and 1 non-millionaire. And the goal is for the mole, the fake one, to stay in and not get voted out. And if by the end, if everyone in that group mutually agrees that the mole has been voted out, the light will go green or red. And if it's red, that means the mole is still there. If it's green, the mole is left. If it's green, the people in the box win the money. If it's red, the mole gets all the money. So they could vote the mole out in round one and split $1,000 between 7 people, 6 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But usually it gets down to about 3, maybe 4 people. And so if the mole wins, that mole wins $1,000. But if the mole is not there, then 3 to 4 people split $1,000. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, same competition, but you'll see other YouTubers make their own renditions of it. People with people who have their own following or their own production company, they will do a variation of that. Or like the popular YouTube channel called Hot Ones. It's the guy who interviews famous actors, actresses, and artists, and they eat hot wings, 10 levels of hot wings, and the questions get spicier as the sauce gets spicier.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's a good show, but people have copied it because they can, right? So if the method works, they're going to copy the method because not everyone sees Hot Ones, so they may see this one. So similarly, dating shows work and people like to watch them. People like to judge because they like to say, oh, yeah, it makes sense why she didn't pick him. He's an ugly bastard. I feel better about myself.
Yeah, well, you know, like there's one thing that I like about Joey Grazadeh.
Yeah.
When I was a young man and in between marriages, like I said, I was a bachelor for 7 years. I remember my mother reiterating to me and always saying to me, treat a woman like you'd want your sister to be treated. I didn't have a sister, but I understood what she was saying. And I think that carried forward to me, with me, all my life. And I felt that even though he was, you know, with 32 different women, and I could not see you know, that's 32 different headaches. You know what I'm saying? It could be 32 different joy or 32 different headaches, depending on the person you're with. But he seemed to treat them like they would be his sister. And he had two sisters. And in fact, he has two sisters. And in fact, prior to being in Hawaii, Joey Grazadé lived in a room in his sister's house. And I think he and Kelsey will be living in that room, you know, sometimes. And everything, I think, that his decisions that he made were based on the fact that he had two family-oriented sisters who he loved very much. That's why I really enjoyed this, because as I was reading more and more and wasting my time reading about The Bachelors, and I mean really wasting my
time. Enjoyed is not time wasted. Time enjoyed is not time wasted. Never.
I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it, but I was hearing about really, really very, very bad Bachelors. And they say Joey Grazadé is the best Bachelor in the history of the show. So,
well, that's great. That's good to hear. I agree. I think based off how you've described him, he seems like a good guy. And I understand and agree that he handled it well based off of how you described it. Because especially because you got to remember, most of these people that audition for these shows, they're not famous people, and a lot of them are probably not making a ton of money. Because if you're making a boatload of money, unless you're on like the millionaire show, a lot of times you got other places to be. You got other things to do. You know what I mean? You're on this show because you want the attention. And so getting the attention from 32 women is very exciting for some men. And to take advantage of it, they're going to want to take advantage of the opportunity, because they may not see this kind of opportunity again for themselves.
Yeah, and he was on The Bachelorette prior to that, where he was down to being the second choice and wasn't picked.
Right. So even
they,
more
they
so.
Came back. The even, show came back and asked him to be The Bachelor.
Right. And so even more so, that would be a reason for him to grab the bull by the horns and, you know, go at it. And the fact that he doesn't is great. It's nice. It shows that he's a respectable man and he's not going to do that. At the same time, like, let's be clear here. I'm sex positive. By all means, do what makes you happy. If both are consenting parties, go at it. I think for the show, it was great because it doesn't promote the show as guy has sex with 32 women and then just finds the best one. So I think that's what's good.
They don't have sex because they only have what's known as the suite, where the last three women were in the suite episode where they have overnights. But
still, regardless, though, there could still be these things going on. And to circle back to one of the first things you said is, you know, I don't know how he does it with 32 women. Yeah, I like hell. Oh my God. I can't imagine. I don't know. Maybe it's a specific type of person, but I would feel horrible. I would I'd be sitting there going like, I don't know, I'm just anxious. I don't want to pick any of you. Can I vote myself out? You guys have it.
You know, I think he said the first night in the going into the suites, SUITES, you know, suites episode, the first person was with Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that he was in love with her. And it shows you how one could feel. He has to have three more dates after that.
Right.
Two more dates, because it was down to three after that.
And right. He's already made his choice, and he's now has to still participate doing these other two things.
Because of the contract.
Right. It's part of the show. He can't just skip ahead. He has to follow through with his actions, because, you know, in the past, there's probably been someone who thought they were in love, and then they sat down with this other person, spoke till 2 a.m. and said, nope, that's the one. You know, so it happens.
Yeah. So you had mentioned to me on the side that your girlfriend watched the show. What did she have any opinions on the show, or did she discuss it with you?
She didn't go super in depth with me. I know she enjoyed it. She likes to watch it with her mom. But she enjoyed it. I think she wanted the second girl to be the winner,
Daisy, yeah.
Daisy, but she enjoyed it nonetheless. So, yeah.
Yeah, Daisy was very sweet.
Yeah.
Very sweet. As was Rachel, the third girl. She was very, very sweet. So the three people he picked showed he had good taste. I mean, different varieties, and like life is just a box of chocolate, you know what I'm saying? But
Yeah.
I will never watch The Bachelor again.
Yeah, we'll see
And
about that. We'll see about
now,
that.
no, the only reason why I watched it was I wanted to see if he would make my same picks as me, which he did, all three.
Yeah,
Just like, you know.
it's like football draft picks. Oh, hold on, wait,
Yeah.
hold on. We got to pause 1 second. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Sorry, because we still record on Zoom. Damn thing kicks us off after like 35 minutes, 40 minutes. So we were saying draft picks. Yeah,
Yeah.
I can understand why people also like it, because they set up their own little March Madness draft picks for the men or women that are going to get make it through the brackets.
Yeah. One thing that amazed me, like I'm going to be 80 years young, okay, in July. And I look back to how, I think we did it on a previous podcast. I look back how we met women. We met as I got first when I was younger. We met women at dances. We met women at sporting events. I mean, if I was on a basketball team and there was somebody nice in the stands and I was on the team, I met women at religious functions. I'm not religious, but dances from my religion, that they threw dances, which I didn't like because that segregated who's going to be there. I like variety, but and then as I got older, it was at restaurants and bars and clubs, and I met your grandmother. Like she was sitting at a table having dinner at a nice restaurant, and she was having dinner with a girlfriend, and I was by myself, and I introduced myself, and that's how I met her. And 41 years later, I was still taking her out to dinner. But it was a different way, and I didn't date a whole. After 7 years of being a bachelor, I was tired of being a ba I was tired of not being a bachelor, but tired of dating, because women were becoming annoying to me. So I give Joey credit. He got through 11 weeks without flipping out. Because I remember dating, and girl would be beautiful, and I didn't like her perfume. And a girl would kiss you, or you'd kiss the girl, and she had lip gloss on that tasted terrible. And you can't tell a girl your perfume's terrible, your lip gloss is terrible.
I mean, you can.
You can, but
Good luck.
it's vice versa. But a girl not liking a guy, but he had to go through 32 women. Certainly, a lot of them dropped out right away. But kissing women just for the sake of kissing them for the show, I mean, it could be enjoyable, but I don't see how. And again, people use hairspray that can stink,
Yeah,
or it
well,
can smell nice.
I think more or less what you're getting at is the exchange, the energy
Yeah.
exchange that goes on, because I think that's how I feel about it, is like I can't imagine doing that, because like going on a date with one person is not a heavy undertaking, but it's an intimate thing, right? I'm not like, if I'm going to a coffee shop with someone to hang out and talk, and this is intentionally a date, I'm being intimate with you in a different way than being intimate in bed would be, right? But like I can't imagine doing that with 32 different women back to 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 back, right? 32 women in your life, whatever. 32 women over various years, whatever. Over months, whatever. But like back to back to back like that in weeks is crazy. And there's a level of, I don't want to say exhaustion, but there's a like it's an energy exchange. That's a workout internally to be able to manage that and still make the right decision for yourself and for them. Because it can be very easy to get lost in the sauce or end up in a mindset like, oh, this is just a game, and start just messing around with people. And you sort of lose sight of the point of why you're here and what you're doing, even if it is for television. And so, yeah, I think that's it's an interesting thing. And the fact that we can solidify this into a game show, a dating show like this, different than something like speed dating at a local cafe, right? Like that's different, where it's like, oh, you got a minute to give your pitch. Even then, that's pretty intense. But I like, this is different because you got cameras, you got to perform. They're putting on their absolute best of the best of the best of the best performance for themselves. And you have to pierce through all of that to be able to say, is this the person I want to be engaged to?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think I'm not sure if it was Love is Blind, where they don't see each other and then they get engaged and then they go to the altar and there's a priest or whoever, and the whole families and guests are out there, and the religious person says, do you take this woman, do you take this man to be, and they say no, and in front of everybody,
yeah.
No. I mean, to me, I would not want to be faced with that. If I didn't want to marry somebody, I would deal with it before everybody gets flown in from all over the country.
Right. And, well, but you know, yeah. Again, it depends on the episode and the TV show, because,
yeah,
you know, if they're paying for it all, screw it, whatever. It's no, the only thing you deal with is the emotional. You don't have any financial. With something like The Bachelor, where it's all on you financially, I think it's even more important. But yeah. I like, you know, there's something mutually that I understand regarding the fan base and desire behind it and the desire for people to be on it, while also recognizing that it's a weird thing. This is supposed to be, or at least originally it was supposed to be, an intimate thing that you do with that person on your time, in the settings that you both feel comfortable, in the ways that bring about natural feelings, instead of in front of a camera with a bunch of fire and you know, you're handing people roses and you gotta wear your dress and you gotta put mortgage your house and fly out and Yeah, I think there's something strange when you look at it from that perspective, but I guess you can argue that about any reality TV show.
Yeah, so I wonder what's going to be now. I assume that as the Bachelor season passes and the new season opens up, I think because he was such a good guy, Joey Grazadei will probably get some offers on television, or maybe even some in film, because he's a nice looking man and well spoken.
Probably won't get film work, just to be a thing. He probably won't get film work.
Maybe he'll get TV work. You know,
he might get other reality shows. If he's smart, he can put himself into, yeah, like some type of commentator or like talk show, maybe. Or maybe news, right? Like if he's got an interest in news and he can join that regard, that might be a really good concept, or like a weatherman or something.
No, I don't agree.
Usually reality TV does not yield well for narrative plot-based acting.
Yeah.
It's the same because you have this brand now as a reality show star. And so trying to break out of that can be quite difficult, especially if you rely and you sort of lean on that. But it's not impossible, not impossible, but it is sort of a different direction.
Yeah, one last fact. The engagement ring was made by, I think, a very, very famous jeweler. Could be worth anywhere from $4,000 to $600,000. I saw quotes, it's $200,000, $80,000, whatever. But Joey didn't pay for it. It's given.
No, of course.
And I think I read that if they break up before 2 years, or if they break up, they have to give the ring back.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Yeah, so that's also...
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because the hell, what do you mean? Like, you pick this woman, like, you know, you have that intimate moment with her in bed, and you're like, hey, I really like you, but I don't think I want to get engaged to you. I kind of want to spend time with you first. How about we get engaged and then break up so that we can just, like, have some dating time? And you can keep the ring and hock it, and we can go on a nice trip for 80 grand. Of course.
They said one of the things that we might see in the future, and again, this is all like podcast people from Bachelor Nation, is a possibility that they'll have a televised wedding, you know, done by Bachelor Nation of those two, because of their popularity.
Yeah.
Or possibly following them on their honeymoon in Italy.
Well, that would track well, because then they probably wouldn't have to pay for their wedding. they could do a nice, like, they could probably talk to the studio department and go, hey, we want to do a wedding here. How about you cover half the cost and we'll cover the other half, or you cover all of it, depending on the price of it, right? And how extravagant it is. You cover this much because this is what we want to do. And if they're like, no, we want it bigger, great, you cover that cost. We won't make any money on this, but you can, if you pay for everything outside of like the family members who have to show up, pay for the food, pay for the event, the planning, all of it, that'll probably work.
Yeah. So I'm going to just say in ending, I want to follow Joey Graziadei and Kelsey Anderson to see what happens with them in the future. I like to make wagers. I wonder if like Vegas has a line on whether or not they're going to be a successful couple. I'm willing to say yes.
There's probably parlay bets on that.
Yeah. But anyway, you have anything else to add?
No, I think I laid it all out earlier. I hope they stay together. I hope they're genuinely happy and it wasn't for the cameras. That would be a nice sort of story to keep. But if they don't, then I hope they find the ones that they want.
That's correct. Okay. So dating is changing, I guess.
Dating's been changing. We got apps, we got websites, Farmers Only, Christian Mingle, Tinder, Bumble, Plenty of Fish, Coffee Meets Bagel, dating shows.
Oh, brother. I don't even know from that. Okay.
Those were all websites and apps. Then we got YouTube channels devoted to people going on there, just like The Bachelor, but just like a shittier version. We got commercial TV episodes. We've got local coffee shop speed dating events. We've got newspaper ads. People just looking for a good time.
Yeah, I just want to say this. I was joking around with some of my friends the other day. And I'm the oldest of everybody. And one person said, being sarcastic, Al, you should go on, try to get on the Golden Bachelor. I said, if I had to go through 30 women, I'd be dead by the time I got half through.
Nice.
So, you know, but anyway, I'm finished. And I, like you, I wish them all the happiness in the world. They seem like two wonderful people.
Agreed. All right, we will see you in the next one. I can't tell you what we're going to talk about because I don't know. There's a solar eclipse going on April 8th that is going to cross the US. So make sure to stare directly at it with no eye protection at all.
Yeah, absolutely not.
If you
Yes.
would like to go blind. And maybe after that solar eclipse, we alter a different timeline and like the world changes. Or maybe not.
Yeah. Wow, we just had a gigantic earthquake in Taiwan, I think. So
And
who knows?
CERN is firing up their super collider again.
Yeah, that's
So
correct.
we
That
shall
is
see.
correct. Yep. Everybody be well. See you in
Right.
2 weeks, 2 weeks or so.
Peace out.
Peace out.